Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about unveiled. We're going to be looking at a passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about how the veil has been removed, and we can begin to reflect God's glory. Think about this idea of a veil. What is it? It's a piece of separation. Think about a woman who's getting married. She's got a veil covering her face, and then as they get married, the veil is removed. The separation is being removed and the two are becoming one, and we can begin to reflect God's glory. We're going to be taking a look at this, but let's get started with prayer. We're going to start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. And actually, I've been getting the nudge today from God to do our 30-day prayer challenge prayer just a little bit different. So I'm going to do a shortened, simplified version today. This is a version that I do with my kids occasionally, if they're, you know, having a hard time sitting still, things like that, just a simpler version, a little bit easier for them to understand, but also a little bit quicker as well. Now, if you're not familiar with the 30-day prayer challenge, this is the place to start. This combination of, we pray about a 2-minute long prayer, usually today will be a little bit shorter. And then we do the other half of prayer, taking a couple minutes to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves, which leads us into our time of communion. Because in Corinthians, it also says that it's good to examine ourselves before we take communion. And I believe you'll implement this two-part process, prayer and the other half of prayer as one part, taking the time to listen, to get still, to examine ourselves, and then taking communion regularly. I believe it'll truly change the trajectory of your life. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening and all their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever even began. And I thank you for this treasure that you put in our hearts, that you put within us. And Father, we ask that you would help us to know you better, that we would know you more and more today. We ask you to bless us, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to the people all over the world, but most importantly, the people right around us. And Father, we ask you to help us do good today and to do it with a good attitude. We ask you to keep your hand on us and to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders. Keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So again, that's a shorter version that I'll sometimes pray with my kids and a little bit easier to understand for my younger kids. I've got a 4-year-old, so sometimes we'll pray a shorter version like that, just to break it down and make it a little bit simpler. But let's do the other half of prayer for a second here. So what were your wins? What are the things that went well? What are the things that you executed and got done over the last day? What are the ways you saw God coming through? If we can look back over the last day and gain some encouragement, like, you know what? I took some steps forward yesterday, and hopefully you had your plan and you were executing the things that you knew to do. You were doing good and you were doing it with a good attitude. You're doing those two things, makes a huge difference. Then how are your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God over the last day? And I was just working with my daughter on it last night. We were talking about her levels of peace and joy and confidence in God. And I was having her go through and fill out the tracker that we use. If you want a little bit more insight into our prayer challenge prayer and this other half of prayer, at the Abundant Life Training Center on our free tools and resources page, you can find some additional training videos on the prayer that we pray, along with the tracker that you can use to go through this other half of prayer and to evaluate how you're doing. But how are your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God? And remember, it's like a light switch. Either it was on and flowing or it was not. And usually the reason it was not is we're either putting too much pressure on ourselves, we're putting too much pressure on other people, we're not resting and trusting in God, we're trying to work and to force and to make things happen, or we've got our mind focused on the wrong things. We're focused not on the things that went well. That's why we start with that. We're not focused on the things that went well. We're focused on the things that went wrong, the ways people have wronged us, the things people have done to us. We're focused on those things, or we're stressed and we're worried about the things that we've got coming up or what happened in the past. We're focused on those things rather than staying in the present moment, staying in God's love, that He's with you, He's there with you, He loves you, He's there to help you, and just loving people. Staying in that present moment with God as you go about your day today. And then what do you know to do? What do you know needs to get done today? Over the next 24 hours, what needs to get done? It might be some administrative things. There might be some errands you need to run. There might be some little things you need to do. But then some bigger questions. Anything you've been procrastinating on? Maybe something that looks bigger and overwhelming and you just haven't taken the first step yet? Maybe you don't know where to start. How could you just do one little thing to get started today? Maybe there's something God's been stirring on the inside of you, but you haven't quite gotten started with it yet. How could you take that first step in that area? And then our last question, what did you learn over the last 24 hours, over the last day? What was your most important learning lesson? If a day goes by, I always tell my kids, if a day goes by and you didn't learn something, we just wasted a day. We weren't tuned in very well. God is always trying to teach us and to train us. So God, what was the most important thing you wanted me to get out of the last day? The most important learning lesson. What were you trying to teach me? What were you trying to show me over the last day? And I believe if you'll get still and you will listen and be teachable, be trainable, be open to receiving the messages He's trying to get through to you, it will help your days go a lot better. And He'll begin to stack one lesson on top of another. And as we'll see here, we're going to read this verse that it says, we're being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. You go through this process. You keep doing what you know to do. You keep doing it with a good attitude. You're staying tuned in and connected to Him and following His leading. He's going to be transforming you with ever-increasing glory. Notice, ever-increasing glory. It never stops. So we're going to take a look. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Talking about unveiled. And I'm going to start actually just a little bit higher than I had planned. We're going to start in verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 4. It says that such confidence as this is ours through Christ. Notice their confidence. We talk about often. We want to have peace and joy and confidence in God. Notice this confidence is ours through Christ before God. Notice our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in God. Note, he says here, note that we are not competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence and confidence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. So our confidence, our competence, all of our skill level, everything comes from God. In this world, we see a lot of people talking about they're self-made and self-reliant. And yes, God wants to get us to this place of self-sufficiency, I believe. But we're going to see in Scripture, this self-sufficiency is not in ourselves. This self-sufficiency is God working through us. He says here, He's made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then we've got this subheading. It says, the glory of the new covenant. And then it says, now if the ministry, this is starting in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was. So he's saying here, now if the ministry that brought death, that was engraved in letters on stone. The Apostle Paul talks about the Ten Commandments. This is not what a lot of people talk about. The Ten Commandments was a ministry of death. Was the law bad? Were the Ten Commandments bad? No, they were righteous and holy and perfect. But what it did is now it put this law in place. And it stirred up, the Apostle Paul, it stirred up our inclination to do wrong. The Apostle Paul says, I didn't know what it was to covet until somebody told me that I could not covet something. And so the law stirred up these evil desires. And he's saying here, if the ministry that brought death, because the law brings wrath, the law brings punishment. When there's a law in place and discipline is laid out, this is what's going to happen if you break this law. That law brought death. If the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, the Ten Commandments, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, even though it was fading away, will not the ministry of the Spirit, which is what we have now, be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men, what was it? The law condemned people because none of us could keep it. There were not only was there the Ten Commandments, which was hard for most people to keep, but there were 613 laws that were given. And if you broke the law, one point, you broke one piece of the law, and it was impossible to keep. Most of us have broken it by the time we got up and ate breakfast, probably. You broke the law, you could be stoned to death, you could be whipped, you could have all these horrible punishments. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? So the law showed us this standard that we could not keep. But the ministry of the Spirit brings righteousness. It makes us, we're righteous. Jesus fulfilled this law for us. And now we are righteous with God because of Jesus. And not only that, the Spirit empowers us to do the right things. The law came and showed the people the right standard of how to live, but it gave them no power to walk it out. Now we have the ministry of the Spirit, that we've been set free from the law. We don't have to worry about all those punishments, and we've been given the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the right things and to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. How much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now at all in comparison with the surpassing glory that we have now. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which actually lasts? So this new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit, this righteousness that we have, it lasts. We talked about, I think it was last month, strengthen the things that remain. The righteousness of Jesus remains forever. His righteousness endures forever. That's scripture. And we have been given his righteousness as a free gift. How much greater is the glory of that which lasts? This righteousness that we have, this ministry of the Spirit, it lasts forever. It endures forever. It says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we have this hope. What happens because we have this hope? We're very bold. Since we have this hope, we're very bold. We can approach God with freedom and boldness and confidence. We're not like Moses. Notice, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at his face, while the radiance was fading away. Now, one of the concepts I've been thinking about, I've been working on a new book, and one of the concepts in there is that God is the source of beauty. In the Psalms, it says that those who look on him are radiant. Those that look upon God are radiant. Now notice, Moses would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it, so they couldn't see the fullness of the glory. It was coming off of Moses' face, and he put a veil on it to hide it because it was fading away. The radiance of God's glory on him was fading away. It was not remaining. It was not lasting forever. But their minds were made dull. For to this very day, right now, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. Now, what is a veil? Veil is a covering. A veil is a separation. It's a separation. I was reading some things, some Hebrew rabbi writings, and they were talking about the true keys to intimacy. The true keys to intimacy, that there can be no separation. There's nothing separating. The two are truly becoming one, and there's nothing separating. And in this example here, we have this veil that's separating. And I'm thinking about the example of the Old Testament temple. There were three parts of the temple. There was an outer court. There was a middle section that had the bread of the presence and I believe the incense and the oil and the lamps and these types of things. And then there was the inner part. There was the Holy of Holies. And separating the middle section where the bread was and the Holy of Holies, there was this veil. there was this curtain or veil, and it was pretty big. I was reading something on it this morning. It said that the estimates are it might have been 60 feet high and very thick as well. And this veil separated the Holy of Holies from the middle room. And only the high priest, only one guy, only the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Some of you guys have heard me talk about this before. Only the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. That's where God's presence was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, the Ark of the Testimony. That's where the Ten Commandments were inside of the Ark. Only the high priest could go in there one time every year. He could only go in there one day of the year, and he would go in there to make atonement for the sins for the people of Israel one time per year. And he had to take a lot of special precautions to go into that room, because if he wasn't right, he could be killed. In fact, they would usually tie a rope around his waist when he went in there, because if he died, they would pull him out because nobody else could go in. And it says, I believe it's in Matthew 27, that when Jesus died, most of you probably know the story, the veil of the temple was torn in two. It was split in half, and the way into the Holy of Holies was now open, that the veil was removed. And now we can approach God with freedom and confidence and boldness. Now, one of the things I want you to think about too, something I've been meditating on, is just this sense of awe. Sometimes we think about, you know what, I've got access to God. I can have his presence anytime. Think about the precautions and the awe and the reverence that these people had to have to go into the Holy of Holies, to stand in God's presence. Think about the book of Esther. Esther says, I can't go into the king's presence without him inviting me. Otherwise, I will be killed. And we have this amazing ability to approach God and stand in his presence with freedom and confidence and boldness. But I think it's also important that, yes, we have that and we know that. But I also think it's important that we never lose our sense of awe and reverence for what he's been given to us, for what he's given to us, for that. Because it is truly an amazing gift. If you look at all the precautions that had to be taken for that to happen in the Old Testament, and now we've been given that for free, I think it's important that we never lose our reverence and awe of that, of what we've been given in that. So it says, but their minds were made dull, for to this very day the same veil remains when the Old Covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is the veil taken away. Only in Christ is that separation removed. Even to this day, when Moses is read, when the Old Testament is read, a veil covers their hearts. Now, our bodies are like the temple now. And without Christ, it's like there's this veil in our hearts that's blocking some things. We can't see as clearly. There's this separation still happening. But whenever anyone, notice this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord. Now, Jesus says in the Gospels, if you would see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your heart. Understand what? Understand God's grace, his goodness, that he's trying to help you. He's there for you. And if they would do that and what? Turn, then I would heal them. He says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that veil in our hearts is removed. The veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's a great verse. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we, who with unveiled faces, when we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed in our hearts. And we can have unveiled faces, just like Moses did, but we can remove the veil. All reflect the Lord's glory. What is his glory? It's his light. It's his essence. He's this all-consuming fire. Those that look upon him are radiant. We can reflect that glory. And because we're standing in his presence, we're being transformed into his likeness. We're becoming more and more like him with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now notice then, if you read on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talks about how we have treasure in jars of clay. God put this all-surpassing power within us. The veil has been removed in our hearts, and we're being transformed into the likeness of God. And this all-surpassing power, it says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. I tell my kids all the time, you have treasure in your heart. You have this all-surpassing power from God, and it's in you. And it's supposed to be working through you, transforming you, making you more and more like him with ever-increasing glory. God wants to take us from glory to glory, faith to faith, glory to glory. And it's progressive. God begins to stack, and it's ever-increasing. We talked about yesterday on our weekly yearly cycle update, an expanding vision. God is progressive. God likes to see us expand. Think about this. God has purpose and grace for your life, but if he showed everything he has for you all at once to you, it would be too overwhelming for most of us. It'd be too much for us to handle the goodness of God all at one time. And so he begins to expand it. It's ever increasing glory. We begin to grow. We begin to expand, and we reflect more and more and become brighter and brighter. And that radiance that we have is increasing over time as well. As we look upon him more and more, that radiance, that beauty begins to increase through us. And that veil is removed in our hearts. But we're going to take communion over this. I was meditating on all the ways that communion is helpful. And communion is this opportunity to meditate on the sacrifice of Jesus. It's a way to meditate on God's steadfast, unfailing love for us. It's a way to take these specific promises, because every promise in Christ is yes and amen. It's a way to take these specific promises and begin to truly, I think, receive them and activate them. Like, communion can be a turning point that from this point on, I'm going to begin to walk in this. And I think that's what this is today, that we're going to be receiving this, that we can look upon God. And I think we should never lose our sense of awe, that we can stand in the presence of God's glory and be transformed by him. We should never lose our sense of awe because of that. That when the body of Jesus was broken, the veil was torn, and we can stand with unveiled faces and reflect God's glory. And it's ever increasing, ever growing, ever expanding. So we're going to be receiving that today as we take communion. That when the body of Jesus was broken, it opened the way for all that to be possible. And when we take communion, we're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus, what happened over 2,000 years ago, and we're bringing it into the present moment, making it active and alive and receiving it, making it relevant in our lives right at this very moment. And from this point on, when we break this bread today, from this point on, we're receiving this promise, and we're going to see this ever-increasing glory just growing and expanding and shining in our lives. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. It represents so much. We just bless this bread, and we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said this to the disciples, "Take it. Take it. Receive this." That God wants to transform you into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, growing more and more like him every day. Receive that. And it's because of Jesus. Through his body, he reconciled us to God. He made the two into one. The veil has been removed. The separation has been removed through his body. And we can receive this now. So if you have your bread, go ahead and take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's his blood that washes us and cleanses us and rolls away the past, so that we could stand in this new covenant. We can stand in the presence of God and be transformed into his likeness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup. And we bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So now it's simply about walking it out. walking out your day. God's with you. His presence is with you. The veil has been removed. Becoming more one with him and being transformed by his presence. His presence, his glory just simply transforms you. As you get more aware of his presence with you. We were talking recently about, you know, what do you have to do to get your body more tan? All you got to do is just be in the presence of the sun. You're in the sun, your body's going to get more tan. Same thing with God. If you just get in his presence, you're going to be transformed with ever increasing glory into his likeness. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, we've got a whole series of courses that we do to guide you through our whole program step by step. We also do some live trainings every week on Zoom. You can learn more about partnering with us on our website, the Abundant Life Training Center.com.